Let me welcome you back to Mark's Gospel, I beg your pardon, chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, we've entitled our message, Leaving the Linen. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. We come to the preaching, God's Word. You might pray the Lord will speak to your heart. Have a word for your soul tonight. Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. Thank the Lord for good singing. And, oh God, we pray it might be the prayer of some heart tonight, just as I am. Lord, just as I am, O Lamb, I come. Oh God, I pray the souls might come tonight, Christ, be born again of Thy Spirit. Lord, we cannot cause an anxious thought. This is Thy work, O God. And so we pray that Thou would come and do Thy work by Thy Spirit. Thou would trouble the heart. Thou would, Lord, disturb the soul. Lord, take men and women outside their comfort zone. Unstop deafened ears. Take away every distracting and wandering thought. Lord, we know the devil's subtle. He will plant every thought under the sun in their minds just now as we come to the preaching of the Word. Lord, we pray against the strong man in Jesus' name. We pray that Thou would have Thine own way. Lord, that Thou would come by Thy power tonight to speak to hearts. I pray to that end, fill me with Thy Spirit. O God, anoint us. Anoint us, Lord, by the power of Thy Spirit to preach as thus. And thus saith the Lord. May there be signs following the preaching of the Word. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In an unintentional manner, over the last number of Sabbath evenings, bar last Sunday, of course, we have been looking at passages in the Gospel of Mark. And many, if not all of them, had a uniqueness about them, in that they were only recorded by Mark. They're not found in any other of the Gospels. The verses that I want to deal with this evening are no exception to that. It brings us to that time when the Savior was to be betrayed by a familiar friend. Judas was already on his way. Judas had already struck up a deal with the scribes and Pharisees that would see him gain 30 pieces of silver while he would guide the soldiers to him for their arrest. The arrest of Christ. That place where Christ was to be taken was well known. It was the place known as the Garden of Gethsemane, where he often would have retreated to in order to pray. But it is obvious that the soldiers did not understand the nature of Christ's kingdom, for we read that they came to him with swords and with staves. They may have expected a vigorous defense on the part of the Savior or his disciples. They understood mistakenly that his kingdom was of this world, and therefore they presumed that it would be upheld by worldly means. However, we know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The cause of God's truth, it doesn't need force to maintain it, unlike the false religions of this world. For the Lord has said, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. But having come, and having given the sign by Judas of the kiss, the soldiers were to take the Christ of God. And all that was done in accordance to the Scriptures, so that they might be fulfilled. Then we have some of the saddest words that are to be found. Words in which you'll find in verse 50, and they all forsook him and fled. And minimum in those words do not describe the Pharisees, and they do not describe the scribes. Those were such who knew the Old Testament Scriptures. They prided themselves in knowing the law of God. They knew of the promised Messiah, but it wasn't them that this word is speaking about. Instead, it was the disciples. And it was something that the Lord had already indicated would happen when He said to them in verse 27 of the same chapter, "And all ye shall be offended because of Me this night." Those who said that they would be prepared to die for Christ, including Peter, were to forsake Him. Those who were not often mentioned, some whom we might describe as the lesser known disciples, they were to forsake Him, and they all were to flee. In that hour of crisis, in the darkness of that night in Gethsemane, and of the Savior's most need, they all ran away, lest they should be taken, and lest they should be harshly treated. Their courage failed them. Their former boastings were now forgotten. The fear of present danger got the better of their faith. They all forsook Him and they fled. The sense of immediate danger caused them to flee. But it is not to them that I draw your attention, but rather the verse that follows, which describes one who remains unknown and unnamed. A man who ended up leaving his linen. Verse 51, "And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him." I want you to consider first of all tonight his arousal. The obvious point to begin in our consideration of who this young man was that we read about in verse 51 is to ascertain who he is. You see, it just says that a certain young man. And those words have been the debate of many a commentator, with various conclusions been reached. Those conclusions have ranged from any one of the disciples to more particularly, even with some considering it was John. And they presume or they suggest that it was John because of the manner in which John disguised himself, his own appearances in his own gospel narrative. And it simply reads, when we know that it's him, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never calls himself by his own name. And so there are those who think this is John. But these, I believe, come short of any satisfactory explanation. For this man and woman, we can be sure of that it was none of the disciples. We can categorically state it was none of the disciples because we have to take the previous verse into account. "And they all forsook Him and fled." There are some who think that it could have been Mark himself. And while that may be a possibility, I want to suggest something else. It could also have been a certain young man who lived near the Garden of Gethsemane. And this we know, that whoever it was, Mark conceals his identity. He remains nameless, and we must keep it at that. The Holy Spirit hasn't given us his name. But in these few words, I believe we get a picture of what was to occur at that particular time in the darkness of that night. And that was that this man was aroused, and he was aroused out of his sleep due to the commotion. Mark records these verses for a purpose. Don't forget, men and women, that all of God's Word is profitable. It's all God-breathed. It's all profitable. There's not a word, there's not a syllable of a verse or a word that is put into the Word of God just to fill out a page. It's all there for a purpose. And part of that purpose, I believe, may be to show us what rage, what cruelty, what ferocity there was amongst the soldiers that night as they came to capture the Christ of God. And there was such a stir and there was such a noise that it was to ascend that it caused those near the garden to be awakened. And that's what I believe happened with this young man. He suddenly awakened out of his sleep. He's suddenly in the midst of a great commotion outside. And so that he arises out of his bed to see what the matter was, only to find that it was Jesus of Nazareth. It was the Savior whom they seemed to have bound and were now leading away. He's aroused. And dear loved one, I see in that, in this picture, the same that needs to happen to you spiritually tonight in this meeting without Christ. For the Scriptures remind us that there are those who are asleep in their sin and they need to be aroused. And you can come into the house of God and you can leave it the same way as you came in, and you can somehow close out your ears to the message of the gospel, and you're sleeping in your sin and you need to be aroused. And I'll tell you something, my voice been raised will not arouse you. It needs to be the voice of God. You think of Jonah when he displeased the Lord and he clambered into that boat. And he was heading in the very opposite direction to which God was telling him to go. And we find him that he got down into the sides of that ship and he fell asleep in the midst of the storm that arose. And the master of the ship came and he said, "Arise, O sleeper, and call upon thy God." I wonder, is that the message coming to your heart tonight? I wonder, is that the message you need to hear, sinner? Or can I put it to you in another way, in the words of Romans chapter 13 and verse 11? "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." The day of the Lord's appearing, it's nearer than it was this time last Sunday evening. You're still sleeping in your sin. How long have you slumbered in your sin? How long have you heard the word of the gospel ringing in your ear, and yet you still wrought out the works of darkness? I exhort you, young person, to seek the Lord now while he may be found. The person in our text is nameless, but this we do know about him. It says that he was a certain young man. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." I said to you this morning, I'll say it again, there's no better time to get saved than in the prime of your life. But I say it also to the older. It's time to seek the Lord. "Behold, now is the day of God's salvation." Soon will be the commotion of all commotions, when this old world will be wrapped up like an old rag. And time shall be no more, and the Lord shall suddenly appear in the clouds with his holy angels, and they'll be sent forth to gather up his people from the four winds of the earth for all eternity. And then it will be too late for you. It'll be too late. But you'll notice also that the arousal of this young man, due to a commotion, it also meant courage. Such is the commotion that he immediately goes out of the house or the dwelling place where he was, only to follow the Lord. None of the other disciples were there. They had all forsook him and they had fled. Those that had walked with the Savior for the past 3.5 years. But here's a young man and he follows him. That took courage. That took courage. He walked into a volatile situation. Before him, there's a great multitude of soldiers. They had come with their swords and with their staves, and the swords are drawn to capture the Lord. And yet here's a young man who, despite everything of that nature, he was to follow the Lord. And dear soul, I want to tell you that it takes courage to be a follower of Jesus Christ. It's not a sissy thing. I don't know why that word is used around the kingdom of more, and it certainly was where I grew up. Maybe you said that to some young man or woman in your school days who was a Christian. You're only a sissy. I'll tell you, it's not a sissy thing to follow Christ. Stepping out as a disciple, stepping out as a follower of Christ will mean accounting of the cost. It will mean losing friends and family. In many cases, it has meant a removal from the home altogether. For parents haven't liked it and they've put their child out when they've confessed salvation. It may mean persecution and affliction if we're going to take our stand and to be true to the Lord. My recent time off, I took a book with me, as I always do. I was reading about A.P. And that's not me. And it's not A.P. McCoy either. It's Alexander Peden. He's worth a reading. You think of the Covenanters in the lowlands of Scotland. It meant them living in caves. It meant them living and hiding away in the bogs. On the run from the bloodthirsty soldiers in what was known as the Killing Times. It took courage just to meet in the fields for to hear the word of God preached. It took courage to join with others in adherence of the Presbyterian form of worship. And for many, it meant the martyr's crown. The last covenanter to receive the martyr's crown just happened to be a young man. A young man of 16 years of age. Some of you are 16 tonight. A young man by the name of George Wood. And in June of that year, 1688, he was shot dead for carrying his Bible and being known as one of the Covenanters, one who met with those that gathered around the field preachers. Worship God. I wonder, sinner, will you step out in faith and follow Christ tonight? Whatever the cost. Whatever the cost. You'll also see that the arousal of this young man meant a closeness. You see, there's another verse in the gospel narrative that is before us. It states with regard to Peter, you'll see it in the words of verse 54, and Peter followed afar off. But that wasn't so with this young man. He followed the Lord closely, and it becomes evident, as we shall see, he was so near to the Lord that the soldiers were able to lay hold upon him. Dear soul, listen tonight. You may be close to the kingdom of heaven, but that doesn't mean you're saved. You may be close to safety. You may be close to eternal salvation, but that is yet not enough. You must be in Christ. You must be part of Christ by taking that step of faith and acknowledging you are that sinner, and you are that sinner who needs pardon, and you are that sinner that needs Christ to save you. And as God's Spirit arouses your spirit and your heart, my prayer is that it would not be almost persuaded, but that you be altogether persuaded. And then you'll know that close walk with Christ day by day. Here's a young man. And there followed him a certain young man. And it came about because he was aroused. May God arouse you in your slumberings this evening. Yet without Christ. But you know, not only is there arousal, but you'll notice here his appearance. There is in these words that which also describes the appearance of how this young man looked. For in verse 51 we read that this young man that followed the Lord, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. I want you to get the picture. And that can only suggest to me a suddenness in his appearance. You see, this young man had no time to get dressed properly. The commotion was outside. He was drawn to it, especially when it concerned Jesus of Nazareth. And so getting out of his bed or the place where he was, he laid hold upon a linen sheet to throw it around his body. And that insufficient garment was what his attire was as he followed the Lord amongst the great crowd that night. It's a scene that depicts haste. He had no time to look for other items of clothing. The linen sheet was what was available, and that's why his appearance is one of being covered with just this linen sheet. Dear loved one, without the Savior, I wonder, do you realize what your appearance is before the eyes of Him who sees all things? You may have the clothing on tonight, outwardly, lovely clothing. I pray that our congregation will always, always come to the house of God modestly dressed. Seems to be a thing of the past in some other places. But you have that lovely outward clothing tonight, but you have no spiritual clothing. You're just like that church in Laodicea that we read about in Revelation 3 and how they are described as being naked. For when the all-seeing eye of God looks upon you as He does, He does not see you having on the sufficient garment that Christ provides in the gospel, but rather He sees you just as our first parents were in the garden after they had sinned. They sought to cover their nakedness by the apron of fig leaves of their own making. And God sees you tonight in the nakedness of your sin. And there is the danger that you should go on rejecting the gospel and that you should go on rejecting the Christ of God. And in that state, in that manner, you'll stand before Him one day, naked, unclothed. For be assured that one day the clouds will break and there will be that sudden appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ in all His glory. And therefore we would say to you, make haste. Oh, the Lord said to Zacchaeus up the tree, make haste and come down. And we would plead with you to make haste tonight in the gospel. Make haste, sinner. Flee to Christ while it is yet the day of grace to your soul. This is not a time to procrastinate. This young man didn't procrastinate. He didn't hold back. He certainly wasn't guilty of that. He left that house immediately and all that he had behind, and he came to follow the Lord. Listen, just as he was. All that he had had his hand to was an old linen cloth, and he threw it around his body. And dear loved one, I exhort you to come just as you are. You cannot first clean up your life. You cannot first turn over a new leaf. You need to seek Christ with all haste and come just as you are. How are you? You're just as a sinner. Undone and unclean and before a thrice holy God. Come just as you are. You can know God's salvation. Yes, I want you to consider the significance of this appearance. This linen cloth ought not to be cast off without undue attention being given to it. And the significance of it is in the other places in which this word is used and to whom it is associated with. You've read this verse. You ever think about it? You ever think of the significance of the linen cloth? I have to say to you that there are various words used for linen in the New Testament. There's possibly four or five. There's a word for linen used in the book of the Revelation to describe the white and fine linen of the righteousness of the saints, but it's not this word. There's another word that is used to speak of the strips or pieces of linen. It's not this one. This word for linen is used to speak of the linen that was used when they took the Savior off the cross and wrapped his body before laying it in the tomb. You see, if you turn over to chapter 15 of Mark's Gospel, you'll find it, verse 46. Let me read verse 45. And when he knew of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. That's Joseph of Arimathea, secret disciple up until this time. Verse 46. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone onto the door of the sepulcher. And the significance of it is that here's linen that speaks of Christ. It speaks of his death on the cross. It speaks of his burial in that virgin tomb. It speaks of the resurrection from the dead. And this young man was wearing that linen cloth, or the same linen cloth, about his body. It was as if he was associating himself with Jesus Christ. His appearance was as one following the Lord. When they arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane, his appearance was as one who identified himself with Christ by the very garment that he was wearing. The very same word is used of what they would do with the Christ of Calvary, taking him down from the cross and laying him, preparing his body and laying him in that virgin tomb. And here's a young man, and he's that linen cloth cast about him. He's identifying with Christ. He's associating himself with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tell me, what does your appearance signify? Is it one of a follower of the Lamb? Nor is it yet one who is a child of the devil and of hell? The Scriptures exhort us to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Or can I read to you Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we do that by placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on Calvary's cross. And the following verses of Galatians 3 signify that this privilege is not only for the Jews. The Old Testament circumcision was only for the Jewish nation. But it's not the case here. For all stand on the same ground as those in Christ, as those who have put on Christ, as those who have accepted in the Beloved, and as those who are the children of God. Tell me, is that how you could be described tonight? Because there was that day in your life's experience when the Lord met with you in your sin and he saved your soul, and you're now found in him. If not, then I implore you to take that step and be found in him both now and for all eternity. There is, however, also something else here. There's a shamefulness of this young man's appearance. You see the words of verse 52, let me read them to you. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. They depict this man leaving the linen and being naked. You see, there was a conflict that arose amongst the ranks. A conflict that arose to take place against this man following the Lord. The soldiers recognized he's not one of us. And while we will consider this in more depth in just a moment, the outcome was this. The young man lost his linen cloth and he ended up being naked. And nakedness in the Scriptures, it always speaks of sin and shame. It was so when our first parents fell into sin and disobeyed the Lord. Come with me to Genesis chapter 2. What was the first thing that they recognized and became aware of after sin? After they took of that forbidden fruit? Genesis chapter 3 verse 7. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And hence they sewed the fig leaves together. They knew that they were naked. There was no shame with their nakedness before they had sinned. Chapter 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But when sin entered into the world, then how different it was. And so they sought to hide themselves, and they sought to cover up their shame. I trust parents, you'll remember that. I trust young people that you'll remember that. For an uncovering of the flesh, as is all about us in this world, is shameful. It stems back to here. It speaks of sin. But men and women, maybe the greatest illustration I could bring to you is when they took the Lord and they took the Savior and they nailed him to the cross, and there we read they parted his garments for lots. The Lord of glory was divested of his clothes. So at the hands of evil and wicked men lifted him up on that cross naked. The paintings were not scriptural. Where they show a loincloth on him, he was naked. And the significance of it is that Christ was bearing our sin, and he was bearing our shame in his own body on the tree, so that we would never have to. He was to die in all his nakedness so that he might purchase that covering for guilty, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. And that covering of the bride of Christ in glory at the marriage supper of the Lamb is described as a fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of saints. Have you this garment on tonight? Is your sin and shame covered so that when God looks upon you, he sees you in Christ and he sees the precious blood savingly applied upon your heart? Sinner, listen tonight to me tonight. You need to be properly attired. You need that garment. You see, we're drawn here to consider this young man's appearance. It started off with a linen cloth. I ended up, he was naked. Thirdly, I want you to see his attack. The young man who was following Christ, who was going onward when others had turned back, was also one who was to know a severe attack. It might be said to have come suddenly upon him. You see, it seems no time since he had been aroused and he had left his home and he was following the Lord, when verse 31 tells us at the end of the verse, the young man laid hold upon him. And that shouldn't seem to be strange for us. But you know, if the Savior said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. What's the word mean? It means trouble. It means affliction. It means pressure. Child of God, you'll have those things in this world. This world is against Christ. There will come the attack for those who leave all and follow the Savior. You think of the man, will not take time to turn up, but you think of the man there in John 9, the man who had his blindness restored. And from his blindness he was to have his sight again. But having done so, suddenly the neighbors gather around him and they start to ask him questions. How were thine eyes opened? And when he spoke of Jesus, they then inquired, well, where is he? And from that the neighbors then, they passed him on to the Pharisees and they further questioned him, how did you receive your sight? And when they didn't like the answer of the young man, they turned to his parents and they asked the same question. And there was every discouragement. And there's an attack in the form of being questioned so early on after the miracle has been wrought. Sometimes a new believer comes across a severe attack very early on in their Christian life. But I wonder, did you notice the source of this attack? You see, it says in their text in verse 51, and the young men laid hold upon him. He was a young man. He was a young man who was following the Lord. But what a contrast when we consider it was a young man who also attacked this man and laid hold upon him. And what they did to that young man is exactly what they did to the Savior. We read it. Verse 46. And they laid their hands on him and took him. That's Christ. Exactly the same. You see, the follower of the Savior can expect no different treatment from that which the Savior himself was to endure. We have that chapter of John 15, verse 18. The Savior says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The child of God will be treated just the same as they treated the Savior. Scorned, rejected. What a contrast there is in just this one verse. One young man who's following. A group of young men who attack Christ and his people. I say, what group are you in tonight? Which one do you align yourself with tonight? Neutral you cannot be. You're either for Christ or against him. Well, I want you to see the sad part of this attack. Indeed, the saddest part of these two verses. And with this I finish. Verse 52, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. He left the linen. He left following the Lord, the Savior, and he fled. He deserted the Lord in the hour of crisis. And to our knowledge, we never read of this young man again. Maybe that's why he remains nameless. He does remind us of a parable that's found also in Mark's Gospel. It's the parable of the sower. That's Mark 4. I read to you the words of verse 16. And the Savior gives the explanation of the various types of soil, and he says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they've heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. I think those words picture this young man. There was haste with him, but there was no root. He started off so well, but there's no root in the matter of his heart that he did not keep following, but instead he turned and he fled. He left the linen. But he left the Lord. And I pray not that you would be stony ground hearers tonight or any night, but that your heart will be good ground. Not like this young man who fled, but rather like Caleb. For it says of him, he wholly followed the Lord. Dear soul, I wonder, will you start for heaven tonight? Wonder, will you leave the rags of your own self-righteousness? Even coming to church faithfully. The Word says it's just filthy rags. It'll not do. On that great day, you'll be naked. But you would come tonight by faith, and you would accept Christ and His spotless garment, His spotless robe of righteousness and God's salvation, and you would come for His glory's sake. If we can help you, or here afterwards for your sake, come now. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence evidently in our midst this evening. Thank the Lord for the picture of this young man. O God, we believe it speaks, it illustrates the stony ground here. Started off so well, but fled. And alas, we read about him, he's naked. Lord, as thou dost look in this congregation, thou dost see those who are naked. Naked in their sin. And those who have the garment of Christ's righteousness upon them. God, I pray in the closing seconds that thou would reveal thy power. Reveal thyself to the unconverted. Oh, it may be, Lord, that thou will have to arouse them out of their sleep of death. Trouble them. God, bring them to an end of themselves. And depending upon their own self-righteousness. We pray, Lord, tonight thou would give that grace. They would flee to the arms of the Savior. And tonight they would have that garment of Christ's righteousness arrayed about them, imputed to them, laid to their account, that thou wilt look upon them and thou wilt see the blood savingly applied in their heart. Answer prayer. Speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us now with thy blessing and thy fear. We ask these things in our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. Amen.